Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I want to encourage you tonight by showing you as a believer, as a Christian, which I hope and pray that everybody here has surrendered and submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not, there's always a good, it's always a good time to do that. It's always a good time. Madison, are you saved? Okay, good. But I want to remind you of what you have tonight, what God has equipped you with. Do you realize that when you become a Christian, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if anyone, no matter what yesterday looked like, no matter what 5 years ago looked like, no matter what you've done, what you haven't done, where you've been, where you haven't been, if anybody is in Christ, they're a new creation. And it doesn't just say that all things have passed. It also says all things have become new. You have a new mind. You have a new spirit. You have, it's like when Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, you have to be born again. And he said, how can anybody go back into their mother? And Jesus explains it to him. He basically says, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about being birthed again in the natural. I'm talking about a rebirth of the spirit. When you come into Christ, you are a new creation. You have a new heart. You have a new mind. You have a new spirit. The only thing that you don't get is a new body, because this is the body that's going to last you until you pass from this earth. But everything else becomes new. And with that new mind, with that new spirit, with that new heart comes a new arsenal that we have. And I want to talk to you about those things that we have tonight, what God has equipped you with that empowers you to overcome the enemy. Because I'm tired of seeing the church get beat up by the enemy. Okay? And the reason that we get beat up by the enemy is not because he is stronger than God, not because he is greater, he is more powerful. It's because church people, Christian people, walk around and let the devil beat up on them. Okay? Because we don't use the arsenal that God has given us. You go over to Ephesians. You don't have to because we're not going there tonight. You go over to Ephesians and you look at the armor of God. Okay? He gave us everything that we need. The armor is a gift of God. It's a gift. You don't have to earn anything in the kingdom of God. You just have to receive it, walk in it. And so many Christians are not walking in the fullness of who God has called them to be. Every time the enemy comes against you, every situation that rises in your family, in your job, in your mind, in this nation, anything that comes against you, you have what you need to overcome it. And as a believer, you're not left unprotected. You're not left without power. You're not left without authority. When Jesus left this earth and went back to the Father, he said, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. And lo, I am with you always. So authority is with him. He's with us. So therefore, what's with us? Authority. Him. Right? We have authority that we should walk in. You're not left without power or authority. I want you to know that. I want you to declare that. On a daily basis, I want you to declare, I have authority in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves me. I am, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I want you to daily say, I put on the whole armor of God. I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Clothe yourself spiritually in those things because he gave you a new mind. He gave you a new heart. But now, how are we protecting that? How are we advancing? How are we using what he's put at our disposal? And many believers don't walk in that authority, that power, because getting saved doesn't just make way for you to go to heaven. That's very important. It's huge, right? Nobody should want to go to hell, right? Getting saved helps us get to heaven, but it also strengthens you for life on this earth. When you get saved, it's not just you've got God's stamp of approval and one day you're going to heaven. It is that, but it's also that while you're here on earth, you have items, you have things, spiritual gifts at your disposal that we're not using. So tonight, I want to teach you and remind you of the power sources that you have in Christ. So the title of tonight's sermon is Power Sources. I'm going to give you 7 sources of power that we have to overcome the enemy, to defeat temptation, to overcome in this life. Amen? Amen? And the first thing I want to show you, I want to give you an analogy. I've got something here. Most of y'all probably have one of these. I forgot to get this out before. I've got a charger here for my iPhone, right? Thank God for these, right? Because if it weren't for this piece of equipment, then our phones wouldn't be worth anything, right? You can spend thousands of dollars on a phone, but if you don't charge the battery, it's not going to be any good, right? But this is no good without an outlet, right? It's no good unless you plug it in the wall and plug it into your phone. So I want to give you an analogy, because this charger has the ability to put energy into my phone to strengthen and give power, a power source to my phone, but it is no good unless it's plugged into the source. You and I are this charger right here. And we have got to be plugged into the source. We've got to know where our power comes from. Because if you spend all this time plugging it in here and plugging it in there and trying this and trying that, but have you ever tried to use an outlet that didn't work? Yeah, it's annoying, right? It's frustrating. It's just the worst, right? And sometimes here we are going through life trying to get power to overcome the enemy, to overcome temptation. We're going to this preacher. We're going to this church. We're going to this person. We're going to this book. We're going to this resource. And God has given us everything that we need. And all we have to do is plug into Him and we'll get these power sources. Amen. So we've got to know as believers how to overcome temptation, because you have two choices: overcome temptation or be overcome by temptation. Because we're all going to be tempted. We're all going to be attacked. We're all at one point in time going to have trouble, tribulation come to our life. So we have to choose. I'm either going to overcome the trial, trouble, tribulation, temptation, and all the other T's that try to come my way, or I'm going to be overcome by them, right? So we've got to know how to overcome temptation. We've got to know how to overcome depression, overcome fear, overcome worry, overcome anger, overcome lust. How do we get over this? By knowing what power source to plug into, okay? And like I said Sunday, though, what you don't fuel will fail, right? There's more technology in my iPhone than what put the first man on the moon. You ever heard that before? They literally say there's more technology in this little device than what put man on the moon. But if I don't charge it, it won't work, right? And it's the same way with us. What you don't fuel will fail. We have got to fuel ourselves with the Spirit of God. We've got to fuel ourselves with the Word of God. We must keep ourselves connected to the source. The psalmist put it this way. He said, "All my fountains are in you." Okay? Here's what that means. Water is something that you and I take for granted. We've got bottles of it just sitting here on the front row. If we wanted to, we could walk outside to a spigot. We could walk back to the bathroom and turn on a faucet and have water. We don't even think about whether or not the water is going to come out of the faucet. We take it for granted every single day. Every morning when you wake up and you start making coffee, you don't wonder, is water going to come out when I turn on this faucet? You just turn it on and it comes out. But in ancient Israel, water was a precious commodity, because if you owned a piece of land but you did not have rights to water, you weren't going to be able to sustain that land. You weren't going to be able to sustain your family. You weren't going to be able to cook, to clean, to water your animals. You were eventually going to dry up and die. And so the psalmist said to God, "My source of strength, my sustenance, my ability to live, all of it is found in you. All my fountains, they're in you," right? And he was in essence saying, all of my being, all of my sustenance, everything, my life is in you. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean by the word which I have spoken to you." Listen to this in verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch," the charger, "can't produce power unless it's connected to the source, the branch can't bear fruit unless it's connected to the vine, unless it abides in vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Listen to verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears fruit. For," listen to this, "without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do nothing. I want to remind you tonight that with God, you can do anything, but without God, you can do nothing. Nothing that amounts to anything, nothing that matters. We can do what apart from Him? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We can look like we're doing things. We can try to be effective. We can seem in the eyes of men that we're making progress, but when God looks at us, which is really the one that matters, He says, unless you're connected to the source, you can't do anything. So let's be people that say, God, all my fountains, all my source, all my sustenance, all my strength, all my ability, it's in you. We're like the iPhone charger. We can only bring power if we're connected to the source. But through Him, we can do all things. Amen? With Him, nothing is impossible. So tonight, I simply want to remind you of the arsenal that you have at your disposal. What are these power sources that we can use? What is that arsenal that I keep talking about? And I want to just look at these seven things, okay? So we have these weapons that possess power. The number one, the first one is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a power source that you can call upon. I've seen it time and time and time again in my life when there was about to be a near accident and someone in the vehicle would say the name of Jesus. I've seen when people were manifesting demonic activity and someone says Jesus and it stops. Where somebody was having a nightmare and they're freaking out, somebody says Jesus and it stops. You have a source of power that when demonic activity tries to break loose in your life, when fear tries to overcome you and you feel like you can't say anything else, just say Jesus. Even if you have to whisper His name, just the name of Jesus has power to drive back the enemy. Listen what Paul said in the book of Philippians. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it really quickly. Philippians, it says, therefore God has highly exalted Him, speaking of Jesus, this is in chapter 2, and given Him the name which is above every other name. It's the name above. That means it is exalted. It is higher than any other name. Anything that is higher looks down on everything else. It has dominion. It has authority. It has reign. And the name of Jesus has dominion over everything. Listen to verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. I want you to get that. Every knee in heaven, on earth, and under earth has to bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. When anything tries to attack you, tries to attack your spouse, tries to attack your children, tries to attack your church, tries to attack your home, tries to attack your community, it should be greeted with the name of Jesus. When sickness tries to come into my home, I say, Jesus. When fear tries to come into my home, Jesus. When depression tries to come into my mind, Jesus. It should be greeted with the name of Jesus. You know why? Because nothing can stand against the name of Jesus. Anything you don't want in your life, you just start to use that power source of Jesus and declare and watch it go. When your child has a nightmare, say Jesus. When depression comes calling, say Jesus. When danger and darkness and destruction try to invade your life, just say Jesus. I think I've told this story before. One time, my sister was about to fly out of a moving vehicle at 70 to 80 miles per hour, and someone said Jesus, and a gentleman reached over and grabbed her, pulled her back into the vehicle. I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. When darkness tries to come into your life, and you can feel it, I don't know if you've ever been laying in your bed at night, and you could just feel that darkness. Maybe it's something from your past. Maybe it's something that you did earlier that week, and that shame and that guilt and that darkness, and the enemy thinks I've got an avenue in, you just begin to say Jesus, because every power, both in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, has to flee at the name of Jesus. Amen? No matter if a man or a woman comes against you, no matter if a demon of hell tries to attack you, when you speak that name, that precious name, that sweet name, the name of Jesus, it must bow. When fear tries to grip your mind, listen, I know that there's people that you deal with fear, whether it's irrational fear, whether it's fear of what has happened, fear of what could happen, just say Jesus. Don't let fear battle in your mind anymore. When worry tries to distract you, say Jesus. When that semi doesn't see you in their blind spot and they begin to move over on you and your family when you're driving down the road, just say Jesus. And you will see Him come through. Now listen, there's power in the name of Jesus, but there's not magic in the name of Jesus. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. is just because you say Jesus, it doesn't mean that it's magically going to make everything disappear. There's a reason that saying the name of Jesus works for some and doesn't for others. And here's what it is. It goes back to what we talked about Sunday, faith. When I say, because there are a lot of people that I have heard say Jesus Christ when something goes bad. Why? Because they're saying it as a curse. They're saying it as a slang. They're saying it in vain, right? And the Bible tells us, and this is something that a lot of people don't practice, Christians, about taking the name of the Lord in vain. Oh my God, good Lord, Jesus Christ. If that doesn't strike something inside of your heart, maybe he's not Lord. Maybe he's not your Christ. Because the Bible clearly says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's a serious matter. It's not something that we should just flippantly use because we, you know, because somebody cut us off or because we got mad or because this, that, or the other thing. So realize that there's power in his name when you call on his name, not when you just say his name. When you call on it in faith, when we declare his name in faith, when we say Jesus because there's nobody else to help us, we realize that you're the name that I'm calling upon because, God, I know that America can't save me. I know the doctor can't save me. I know that money can't save me. I'm calling upon your name. When you speak his name in faith, he will show up. Amen. So when make sure that when you call upon his name, when you plug into that power source that's going to help you overcome the battles of your mind, the worries, the depression, the fear, the danger, realize you've got to call it in faith. Amen? Not in vain. All right, the second power source that we have is the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, there's power in the blood. We don't sing about it enough. We don't talk about it enough. We don't think about it enough. We don't declare it and plead it enough in our lives, but there's power in the blood of Jesus. In fact, the book of Revelation chapter 12 tells of how the saints overcame the enemy. It uses a dragon as an example of the devil. And it says in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. You can overcome the enemy not because you're some big, bad Christian person, but because of the blood of the Lamb. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the debt that you and I could not pay. He shed his blood on purpose for a purpose so that we could overcome the enemy. The blood gives us freedom from sin. That means when the enemy comes saying that you're a child of his, God says, no, 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 devil, that's a child of mine because they've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews says, there is no remission of sin. That means sin just abounds. It continues. It goes on and on. But the blood brings an end to the transmission of sin in your life. When the death angel was sent to Egypt, right? The last of the plagues. The people of God had been in Egypt and been for hundreds of years. They'd been used as slaves. And God had used these plagues to try to turn the heart of Pharaoh to let them go so they could be in the promised land where God had created for them to be. And the last plague, the straw that broke the camel's back that made Pharaoh finally allow them to leave, was God sent the angel of death to pass through the land and slay the firstborn of every Egyptian. But the thing that kept the Israelites' children safe was God said, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to take a spotless lamb, and I want you to kill it. And I want you to take blood, and I want you to take hyssop, and I want you to dip it in that blood. And I want every single head of the household to wipe that blood across the doorpost of your home. And when that enemy, or not that enemy, when that angel begins to come by, that death that is going to take life, he's going to pass over your house because the blood of the lamb has been applied to your doorpost. And I'm telling you, a power source in your life is you need to plead the blood over your home. You need to say the blood of Jesus, not the blood of a lamb, but the blood of the perfect spotless lamb has been applied. It has been shed for the remission of sins, and I plead the blood of Jesus over my home. Amen? Jesus is the Passover lamb, and we can apply his blood to our lives. And when we do it, we are covered and protected. Listen, the enemy cannot trespass over blood. He has to go. I'll tell you, I try to pray it on a regular basis. I plead the blood of Jesus over my home, over my wife, over my children, over this church, over this community. I plead the blood of Jesus, because when condemnation and shame attempt to come back up in your life, you can say, no, 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 no. You see, that's been covered by the blood. And the Bible says that though our sins are as scarlet, He will wash us whiter than snow. There's no trace, there's no evidence, there's no remembrance. He puts our sin as far from the east as from the west. And I'm telling you, condemnation is a trick of the enemy that he would love to get you to dwell in, to live in. But the Bible says in the book of 1 John, if our heart condemns us, is God not greater than our hearts? And He knows everything. He knows everything, but He chooses to not remember the sin. Why? Because of the blood. Yeah. Because of that power source. And, you know, if you were to be convicted of, or not convicted, but if you were to be, tried for a crime, they would ask you at some point or another, what do you plead? Yeah. Innocent or guilty? Well, thankfully, even though we should plead guilty, we get to plead the blood. Yeah. And because of the blood, we're made innocent. And it's a saying that they used to use back in the church a long time ago. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. We need to daily plead the blood of God over our life, over my wife, over my children, over my health, over this church, over my finances, over my mind. Everything needs to be brought under the blood. Because listen, anything that's not under the blood, the enemy has access to. Okay? So remember that in your home. Remember that in your children. Remember that in your life. Anything I don't have under the blood, the enemy has access to. But anything that I do have under the blood, he can't touch. He can't mess with. He can't deal with, right? So, the blood. It's a power source for you and your family. Here's the third thing. The third thing is your testimony. Because it says there in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and by loving their life not unto death. Listen to this. Church, your testimony terrifies the enemy. It does. When you begin to declare the good things that God has done in your life, you begin to declare that you once were a sinner, but now no longer you're a sinner. You once were an addict, but no longer are you an addict. You once were a cheater, but now you tell the truth. You once walked this way, but now you have been made right and been made new. And you begin to testify of the time that God provided for you when you didn't know where groceries were coming from, or God provided for you when that medical bill showed up and you didn't know how you were going to pay it. When you begin to declare that and testify that, it's a power source that repels the enemy, because it says that's how they overcame him. And I don't want to see you, I don't want to see me, I don't want to see the church anymore overcome by the enemy, because we refuse to use the power sources that God has given us, like His blood and like our testimony. That word testimony in Greek means evidence, okay? Your testimony is the evidence that God changed you. Your testimony is the evidence that He saved you, He redeemed you, He covered you in His grace. And the other thing that you should know is, if there's no evidence, there can be no conclusion. If there's no testimony, then how are you going to be able to prove to the enemy that you've been saved, been redeemed? Your testimony is to help you overcome the enemy, so that when he comes and he begins to tell you, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you can say, no, I used to be. That's why the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly. You say, yeah, I used to be those things, but I'm not anymore. I've been redeemed. I have a testimony, amen. When the devil shows up, when your past shows up, when temptation shows up, you need to have a testimony that says, no, that's where you're wrong. I've been set free by the power of God. I'm more than an overcomer through Jesus Christ who loves me. And your testimony is like an instant replay that the devil hates to watch, okay? Yeah, I don't know how many sports fans there are on here, but I hate it when my team gets scored on and they show the replay, right? Like, it stinks to see it one time, and you're like, man. But then they show it over and over, and you can see your guy getting beat over and over again. And that's what it's like for the enemy. When you stand up and you begin to declare your testimony of how God healed you, how God delivered you, how God set you free, it's like the devil having to watch God win all over again. It's a replay for him, and he's just like, I hate this, right? And your testimony, it terrifies him, it frustrates him, and you can remind him, we've been singing that song a lot, hell lost another one, I am free. I am free. The other day we were driving down the road. We've been listening to that song. And the chorus says, He picked me up. He turned me around. He set my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. And the song got over and Bethel was sitting in the back. Bethel's 5. And he said, Dad, when he said, I thank the Master, that hit me hard. I said, Bethel, what's that mean? He said, I don't know. I said, it means that it touched you, buddy. It means that it spoke something to you. But your testimony is not just a power source to overcome the devil. It's a power source to propel you into what God has for you. You know why? Because your testimony reminds you if he did it then, he can do it again. If he did it for me 20 years ago, he can do it for me right now. That's why God told the children of Israel over and over again, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. He was reminding them, this is your testimony. I set you free for 400 years of bondage. I parted the Red Sea. I drove out Og. I drove out Sion. I drove out the Canaanites. I drove out the Jebusites. And I want to remind you that I can do it again. Amen? Here's what it does also is it revitalizes your faith, right? It awakens your passion to realize that the same God that saved you then, provided for you then, overcame for you then, can do it and will do it again. That's why it says, I've been reading through the book of Judges, and sometimes, you know, we get so frustrated with the Israelites, right? Because it says, this judge died, and they turned away from the Lord, right? It's like, y'all are idiots. Why can't y'all just keep it together, right? But we look at it, and sometimes it'll say they forgot the works of the Lord. They forgot what he did for them. Yeah. They forgot how he delivered them. Listen, your testimony is one, to overcome the enemy, but two, to remind you that anything's possible with God, that it's not over. Amen? Amen. All right, here's the fourth one. The fourth one is prayer. I want to read James chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. The Lord's really been speaking to my heart about prayer the past few days. He's really been calling me to spend more time in prayer. And when I say more time in prayer, I'm not just talking about in the morning in my prayer time. I'm talking about throughout the day. Just when I'm driving down the road, when I'm by myself in the garage, when I'm, you know, doing something that is a mindless task, right? Just something that I can do without thinking about it. I just start praying, right? And in James chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, it says this, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess, listen to that, the power in prayer. It will heal the sick and it will cleanse sins. All you have to do is pray. And he will be true to his word. Verse 16 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I love it. We quote it all the time, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What it avails much. The King James says, it availeth much, right? You know what that word avails or availeth means? It means has power. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man has power. Your prayer is a power source. Your prayer closet is a power source. You need to get in that prayer closet as much as you can, and you're plugging into the power source. And when you leave, don't unplug. Go wireless and take it with you, right? The other day we were having staff meeting, and Pastor Lauren grabbed my phone and put it on his thing, and I thought, he thinks he's got his phone. But that's my phone, and I'm going to have to tell him that's my phone. Or maybe I should just grab it. And then he says, I'm charging your phone for you. And I was like, what? And on his notepad, which he calls his brain, there's a wireless charging port in the middle of his brain, which that sounds funny to say. And he said on there, and sure enough, it charged my phone, and my phone needed to be charged. When you leave the prayer closet, don't leave the prayer closet. Stay connected to that power source. Amen? Thank him. God, I can talk to you anywhere, at any time. Because healing power is in the prayer of faith, right? Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. And not only did it rain, but it produced a crop. It produced a harvest on the earth. I'm telling you, your prayers can produce a harvest. okay? When you pray, begin to pray for souls. Begin to pray that we'd see people saved here. We'd see people delivered here. We'd see people healed here. That you'd see it on the job. That you'd see it in the streets. That you would see God move and work a mighty miracle, because your prayer is a power source. And I love that James tells us, listen, James was so straightforward. If you can't understand James, you just need to catch up, okay? I love that he says Elijah was a man. He's making a point to us to show us Elijah wasn't any more special than you or me. But you know what he did? He prayed. And he prayed earnestly. He prayed effectively. He prayed fervently. He didn't just pray because that's what Christians are supposed to do. He believed, when I pray, my God hears me. When I pray, there's power in my prayers. He prayed the prayer of faith. Now, this is bonus content. This is free right here. But this is an eighth one. A power source is faith. But we talked about it so much Sunday morning, I don't want to just drill it into you, even though we probably need it just drilled into us. It's faith is a power source. When you pray, make sure that you are partnering your prayer with faith, okay? Listen, that's why faith without works is dead. Well, when we pray, we need to activate our faith based on what we're praying. It's like today, I was driving into Fort Payne to have lunch with a guy, and I was praying for the Lord to give us a building. God, give us property. God, I was just proclaiming. I was just praying. I was praying the prayer of faith, and God said, you need to put works to your faith. He said, you need to call the realtor and ask him if there's any property. And so I got my phone out while I was driving, and I called the realtor, and I said, Kevin, you got any properties that are available or coming available for a church building yet? And he said, let me make a few calls. Let me get back to the office and look, and I'll let you know. 2 minutes later, guess who pulled out in front of me? Kevin, our realtor. And I know, because he drives a Mercedes with Kevin B on the license plate. And there he was. But I'm telling you, when you put your faith to work, you'll see things start to happen. Kevin may not have the right building for us, but I'll tell you what, it was a confirmation to me that God heard my prayer and that he has us in the right place at the right time. That's why Kevin pulled out right in front of me so that I could see him. And when you start working out your faith, things will start happening. Amen? And the other thing you have to understand about pray is when you pray in faith, you're connected to the source. And the church doesn't have to be your resource for prayer. You can connect with God anywhere. And the other thing you need to see about prayer is not a requirement. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's a gift, okay? We need to quit looking at prayer as something we have to do and realize it's an access point that he didn't have to give us. He'd be a lot less busy if he didn't give us prayer, right? But he gave us 24/7 access to him, and we need to use it. We're going to be praying more and more around here. You're going to notice through our services, in our pre-service prayer time. We do pre-service prayer, most of you know, on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We're going to start doing it on Wednesday nights as well at 6 p.m. We're just, even if it's just for 3 or 4 minutes. Why? Because we want to welcome God in this place. We want to be connected to him, because prayer is the connection point to power. Amen? All right, here's the fifth thing. The fifth power source is praise. When you open your mouth and you declare the greatness of God, you are activating his power. Realize that when you open your mouth and you say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And I want to give you a little tip, a little pro tip, okay? A little, what do they call them? Life hack, okay? I'm going to give you a spiritual life hack. When you don't know what to praise God with, open the Bible to Psalms and just start reading it out loud. Just start declaring it. I'll give you a couple good ones to start with. You ready? Psalm chapter 29. Let me read just a little bit of Psalm 29 to you. Give to the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Just begin to declare those things. When you don't know what to say to God, here, let me give you another one. Another good one is Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, I mean, really, you could just turn anywhere. I'm just pulling them out of the wazoo here. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 103. You ready? This is one of my favorites. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. If that doesn't make you want to praise God, then I don't know what will, right? So just start, when you open your mouth, you are declaring the goodness of God and you are activating the power of God. Listen, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the people of Judah were being attacked by multiple armies. And you know the story. Jehoshaphat calls for a prophet, right? The Spirit of the Lord falls on a man. He begins to prophesy and he begins to tell them to send the worshipers out first, right? Well, listen to what it says in chapter 20, verse 22. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. But here's my favorite part. When they began to sing. When they began to sing, it activated the power of God to ambush the enemy. Listen, if he did it for them, he'll do it for you. The problem is we read the Bible like a storybook. That's so inspiring. Well, it's supposed to inspire you to action, not just make you feel fluffy inside. Okay? It's supposed to give you the ammunition that you need and the source that you need to realize, when I open my mouth, things begin to change. Things begin to happen. The things that are coming against me, God's going to set an ambush against them when I begin to open my mouth and I begin to sing praises, because praise unlocks power. Okay? It changes your perspective. That's what I love about praise. Praise changes your perspective, because when you praise, you have to focus on God. Yeah. And when you're looking at God, you can't be looking at the enemy. When you're looking at God, you can't be looking at your problems. When you're looking at God, you can't be looking at how much is or not is in the bank account. You can't be looking at what's coming from the left, what's coming from the right. So praise changes your perspective to see not your problems, but to see his promises, to see his power, to see his presence. And you need to daily open your mouth and praise the Lord. You know why? Number one, he wants to hear from you. He longs to hear his people praise him, right? Plug yourself in to praise and to see the power of God unleashed in your life and see him set ambushes against your enemies. Amen? See him destroy the things that long to destroy you. When you open your mouth and you praise. Okay, let's begin to move a little quickly here. Number six is the Word of God. The Word of God is a source of power. It's not just a daily discipline, church. Are there times when it requires discipline to read the Bible? 100%, especially when you're in Leviticus, right? But it's a source of power. It's a source of strength. And I want to show you this, because even Jesus used the Scripture as a source of power to overcome temptation and overcome the enemy. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. This is after Jesus has been baptized and the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness, okay? Some people just go to the wilderness because they're weird. Some people go to the wilderness because the Spirit sends them there. I was talking with Mr. Tim earlier. He was talking about wanting to go bowling again. I said, that'd be fun. He said, I'm just not much for camping. He said, roughing it to me is the Holiday Inn. And I said, I hear you. Roughing it for me is the Holiday Inn. But sometimes God will send you out into the wilderness. But in those moments, you can learn. Anytime God sends you to the wilderness, it's because he wants you to learn something you couldn't learn anywhere else. Okay? It's because he wants to develop something inside of you that you can't get in the comfort of your atmosphere that you have created, that feels right to you, that feels good to you. And so God will stretch you outside of where you feel comfortable in order to get you to become the person that he wants you to become. And so the wilderness can even be a power source for your life. Because it was in the wilderness, the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness, not because, you know, he just didn't have anything else to do for 40 days, right? Well, Jesus, looks like your calendar's free. How about a vacation to the wilderness? No, he sent him there for a purpose, right? So I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but you know the story. Satan comes and tempts Jesus. And he begins to tempt him in different ways. And let's just read a little bit in verse 3 of chapter 4. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he, speaking of Jesus, answered, said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So what did Jesus respond with? The word of God. Yeah. It is written, right? So then the devil took him up and he put him on the top of the holy city and he set him up there and he said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." So the enemy tries to use, he realizes that Jesus has responded with the word, so now he's trying to quote the word back to Jesus. But Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, right? He said, "I'll give you everything you want if you worship me." You know what Jesus said? "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship." Listen to verse 11. This is important. "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." If you go over to the book of James, it says, "Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's what Jesus had to do. But sometimes we think, "I resisted the devil. Why is he still hanging around?" Jesus had to resist him 3 times before he went away, okay? But he used the word of God as ammunition to combat the enemy every single time. He combated the enemy with the word. You know why? Because the word is a source of power. If you go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, you'll find a very familiar passage of scripture that says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." But let's go back to the start. The word of God is living and it's active. You know what that word active means? Powerful. The word of God is living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when the enemy comes against you, you need to have scriptures in your arsenal that you can respond with. Jesus didn't have YouVersion or Google to say, "What's a good response to the devil right now?" Right? He had to know the word of God. Why? Because he'd studied the word of God. What you don't fuel will fail. If you don't fuel your heart with the word of God, when it comes time to stand against the enemy, you won't know what to say, right? So that's why scripture memorization is so important. You know what? You know what we should start? We might do this. We might start memorizing a scripture together on Wednesday nights. Why is it that we do it for the kids, but we don't do it for the adults? Because honestly, listen, and I will say, it is so important. You know why? I know scriptures today because of when I was a child. I remember learning them on movies and learning them in classes, right? I remember things like Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life." I remember things like in the book of Proverbs where it says, "Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth." I remember learning, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I remember all these scriptures that I learned when I was a child. And you have to have ammunition against the enemy, because a 9mm is no good without ammunition, right? You can click, click, click all you want. But, you know, whatever's coming at you, if you don't have any ammunition, you're going to be taken down, right? And it's important that we have ammunition to memorize the word. That's why David said in Psalm chapter 119, "Your word have I hidden in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against you." What is David saying? He's saying, "I've tapped into the power source of your word so that sin doesn't have a rule on me, but I have rule over sin." Why? Because I have the word of God hidden inside of my heart. Not because I have willpower. Because listen, nobody is meant to resist the enemy by willpower. Some of y'all might remember DC Talk in the 90s, right? They had this little, they were real goofy, but they had this little like ad in the middle of their album. All of a sudden it would come on and say, "Willpower, the power to will away temptation," just like as a joke, because nobody can will sin away, can will the enemy away. But there's something that makes us think that we can, right? I can overcome the enemy. I can say no to that. I can say no to that. No, you need the word of God to be present in your life, to use as ammunition to drive back the enemy. Amen? "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." All right, here's the 7th one. And then I want to talk just a little bit more at the end about something that ties into this. Number seven is relationships. Okay? This is so important. Doesn't sound spiritual, but it really is, right? Relationships are so important. I can show you this throughout Scripture. David had Jonathan, right? Jesus had Peter, James, and John. Three men that he took with him places that he wouldn't let anybody else go. He had intimate relationship with these men. Paul, you'll see, he would write letters and he would ask about people. And he would say, he's dear to me. He's precious to me. He's valuable to me. In fact, the whole book of Philemon is Paul writing to Onesimus and asking him to release Philemon, who was a slave, and saying, hey, would you please restore him? Because you don't realize how precious and how valuable this guy is. Relationships are so important. Amen? Listen what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Two are better than one. We don't have to read anymore because that's truth right there. Two are better than one. That's enough to realize I need other people in my life. The book of Proverbs says, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire, right? It goes on and says in Ecclesiastes 9, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Right? So the whole message that Solomon is conveying to us through Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11 is two are better than one. Relationships are a power source. Godly relationships, I should say, are a power source. Because ungodly relationships, you know what they are? They're a drainer. They will suck the life out of you. They will pull every ounce of energy, every good thing that you've got going. They call you on the phone, and it is like something has just zapped every bit of power that you have. It's just like it puts a drain on you. So make sure that it's not just any relationship, right? The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So make sure that you're with the right relationships. They have a good reward. They can strengthen you when you're weak, pick you up when you fall down, pray with you, encourage you, and here's my personal favorite, correct you when you start to get off path. You know somebody's a real friend if they say, hey, that wasn't a good idea. Hey, I wouldn't do that again. They do it in love, right? As Ephesians says, speak the truth in love. But they'll be willing to say, hey, I'm telling you this. Just like I tell my children, son, I'm not getting on to you because I hate you. I'm getting on to you because I love you. I want you to be somebody that understands that there's consequences to poor decisions, right? So you need godly people in your life. Don't isolate yourself because we all need relationship. I love what Pastor Rusty Nelson says. We can do more together than we can ever do apart. It's a power source. When we come together, I love in the book of Deuteronomy, he says that one of you can put 1,000 to flight, but two of you can put 10,000 to flight. Do that kind of math. Brian, maybe we can work some kind of math problem up there. One puts 1,000, but two puts 10,000. That is multiplication right there, right? Why? Because you come together. Because you come together. If you team up two horses, one can pull 12,000 pounds, two can pull 36,000 pounds. You think it'd just be double. No, they can do more than double just because they're connected. Just because they're connected. Amen? All right, I want to end by reading this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Okay? Very familiar passage of Scripture. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. I read it all the time. I pray it all the time. Ephesians 3, 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or think. But it doesn't stop there. According to the power that's at work in us. The power that works in us. This goes back to what we were talking about Sunday. Faith without works is dead. I like to say it this way. Faith that isn't working is dying, right? And in the same way, he can do amazing things in your life as long as you're allowing him to work through you and you're plugging into the power source. He will work according to that power that's working in you. So here's what I want you to know tonight. The power must be at work in your life. You've got to be plugged in order for the... So many people just want God to work through them. but they don't want to plug into Him. So many people just want God to give them more faith, but they don't want to work on their faith. So many people want God to give them a greater anointing, but they won't plug in to intimacy and time with Him. So many people want God to give them more blessings, but they won't plug into obedience, right? So we've got to plug into the power source for that power to be at work in us. He is able to do great and mighty things through you. And God, but here's what you have to remember, okay? And I want to just bring it all to a close with this. This is in regards to what we talked about Sunday morning, what we've talked about tonight. It all comes, to me, it all comes back to this scripture in 2 Peter, that He has given to us by His divine power all things that pertain both to life and godliness. Why does it come back to that? I think Christianity is wrapped up a lot of times in that because so many times we want more. I want more grace. I want more faith. I want more blessings. But it tells us clearly in the Bible, He's given us all things. So, how could we ask Him for more? How could He give us more? If I give you everything I have, how can I give you anything else? If all I have is $100 and I handed you $100, how can you ask me for 50 more? I don't have it, right? The Bible says in the book of John, He gives His Spirit without measure. So if He has given us everything that we need, why are we constantly looking for more when all we really need to do is plug in to what He's already given us? He's given us everything that we need. And here we are going, why don't I have the power? Why don't I have the anointing? Why don't I have the blessings? Because we're not plugging in. He has already extended and given us everything that we need. All these things, you don't have to ask Him for them. You just have to do them. Praise Him. Pray. Plead the blood. Declare the name of Jesus. Read His word. Have faith. Work out your faith. And He will activate these things to take place and be a power source in your life. Amen. He has given us everything. It's not that you need more. It's that you need to press in and plug into what He has already given you. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. It only took me 53 minutes, okay? So it wasn't an hour and a half. 53 minutes is not that bad. All right. Bow your heads with me if you would tonight. Father, I just ask that You would help us to plug in to what You've called us to what You've given us. God, I pray that we wouldn't be ungrateful people that ask, increase our faith, give us more grace, give us more this, give us more that. But God, we would realize that everything that we need is found in You. So God, we don't seek the other things, the external things, but we just seek after You, knowing that as we come after You, as we believe and we put our faith and our trust in Your name and in Your blood, and we build godly relationships and we pray and we read Your word, God, I believe that You are going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, because the power of God is working inside of us as we're connected to the source and we're plugged into You and we're plugged into prayer and we're plugged into the Word and we're plugged into Your Spirit and we're plugged into godly relationships. God, I thank You that You're going to take us further and deeper. God, I just hear right now, there's a story in the book of Luke chapter 5 where Jesus tells the disciples, launch out into the deep. I just feel like God is saying to you tonight, launch out into the deep. Go deeper. Press in. Plug in. It's going to take some searching. It's going to take some seeking. It's going to take some obedience. It's going to take some you working on your faith. But it's that power that works through us that enables the exceeding and abundantly. As you praise and open your mouth and glorify God, power is activated in your life. And so, Lord, I just ask that You would help us to be people that would press into You with all that we have. We love You and we honor You and we praise You tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you, keep you in His peace, and may you stay plugged into the power source, and may that power flow through you. As long as He's working through you, He must be working in you. Allow Him to work the things inside of you as you plug into Him to give you power and strength to overcome the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen.